Up next on the stream of Free Radio at freakradio.org, it's the Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides April 13th, 2023 show. This is a flashback coming at you, and it's going to be flashing back to October 24th, 2013. Those interested in more current events, there's likely to be more on the Sunday show, which is coming up in 3 days. It's a longer show. It will also probably also include a flashback. It's lots of flashbacks these days for me. Sort of a combination of energy problems and motivational problems on these issues. It's not something that I've got a lot of incoming stuff to put out to you. But HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is still operational, in the sense that we are holding meetings, putting out flyers every so often, and people come around to let us know that there's abuses that have been happening against homeless folks by either social service agencies or police or whatever, or whoever, I should say. And HUF, of course, meets as usual every Thursday at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is right next to the bike church at 703 Pacific. And we try to start at 10:45, but I usually get there late. I've been trying harder these days. Sometimes I make it close to 10:45, and usually the meeting gets going around 11, but and it can sometimes spill over to past the 1 o'clock, I shouldn't say deadline, but it's the usual anticipated ending time. But you're invited. We have coffee, we have snacks, we have a hound or two shows up. You even have the occasional homeless folk, a few person, who come wandering in. I tend to record those meetings, in fact, pretty regularly do, and warn people that you are being recorded, and we can turn off the machine if you've got special assassination plans for particularly nasty, abusive institutional types. But we generally are a pretty open group, and people have their say, and we discuss a lot. I wish we did a lot more, but I keep hoping that we are sort of laying the groundwork for perhaps some other group at some future time, or maybe a future iteration of HUF could take some action based upon the what we have kind of set forth as revealed or gotten together information about. But this is really a flashback today anyway, and the flashback goes back 10 years to October 24th. Numerous interviews from the, I guess it was the weekend Food Not Bombs meals right next to the post office. It was, there were also protests being put forward, organized, pretty actively solicited on Pacific Avenue. And you'll hear the public weighing in on the city council's repressive ordinances around trying to squeeze street performers into little square boxes on the Pacific Avenue, making it a crime or continuing to keep it a crime to sit down on 95% of the sidewalk anywhere, even if you aren't blocking anybody, as a form of a sort of an anti, really an anti-street culture sort of deal, and also an anti-homeless thing. But it also ended up being troublesome to street performers and street vendors. Changes in the ordinances since, not because the city council suddenly saw the light, but the state legislature weighed in favor of vendors. And I guess, not sure whether it was COVID and the need to shelter in place that made it more difficult. Well, around the sleeping ban, of course, and to some extent the sitting ban, perhaps, because that's a form of resting. Once the Martin versus Boise decision came forth from Boise, it became clear that the city could not would be risky for the city to start giving tickets or continue giving tickets for camping, so-called camping, when that means survival sleeping, if it didn't have any options for people. Because they were saying you cannot be in a certain space unless you have money in your pocket. You cannot rest. And that violates, according to that court decision, and of course common sense and logic, not to mention human decency and probably almost any religion you can name, except the religion of money, which is, of course, the main religion in Western civilization. That being the case, that being the problem, the laws have changed. But police practices, unfortunately, continue to act as though the law is what they say it is, even if it isn't. And we found that out when we tried to serve food at City Hall on March 10th, because we were protesting the fact that Mayor Keeley and City Manager Matt Huffaker's regime were apparently either directing or sitting on their hands while police went out and forced homeless people into the rain in massively dangerous windstorms and rainstorms. And they also did the same to Food Not Bombs, which was trying to feed them. And, of course, the weather has gotten a little sunnier, and I wouldn't say, however, that other than the appearance of sunniness, which Fast Lane Fred Keeley, as I call him, does very well. He hasn't, the fundamental malice against homeless folks and determination to commercialize and gentrify the city has not changed, in my view, and probably the view of numerous other folks, too. But this has to be, you, of course, must make up your own mind as you look at the situation. Oh, lots of folks, some of whom are no longer with us, some of who are, actually. There's Corkscrew Tony, who some of you may recognize as Portuguese Tony. Paul Bernardino, Dennis Etler, who has died. Some folks whose names I don't remember, and so I'm not going to iterate them or read them. There is a fairly substantial interview with Mike Rhodes of Fresno, a community and homeless activist who is, he edited the Community Alliance monthly or bi-monthly newspaper. And he was also quite a poster and writer for Santa Cruz Indie Media. You find his stuff there. If you go to into the archives of indiebay.org/Santa Cruz and look for Mike Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, you'll find a story from 2013, and I guess it's October. The canal bank encampment is destroyed. Then there was a thing that we got together on to oppose these restrictive ordinances that were actually in place between 2013 and 2017 or so, although they were doing lots of changes, tightening them up, making it illegal to not just to light up a cigarette in the park, even though if you were nowhere near a fire zone, you massive attacks on people in parks who are homeless, who sent parks, of course, means also the Poganip area, the Greenbelt area, where people went to sleep, to survive, because, of course, the shelter situation at that time provided even less beds and still doesn't provide adequate shelter for people who are outside, which someone might say, well, they're not supposed to. People have to make their own way. And even if you believe that, surely you might also believe then you don't want to tear down whatever shelter they make on a certain night to cover themselves from the rain or when they duck under the eave of a building. But if you thought that was safe, you would be wrong, because not in Santa Cruz, not in Felton, not in many other cities. It's a form of class war against poor people. Anyway, you'll be hearing lots of street interviews directly. The Lyrical Eye, Isaac Collins, was interviewed as well. Helios Creed, a musician from the group Chromium. Jim Cohen, the juror who would not go along with jailing homeless activists for protest. He was the one juror who held out in 1997 and said no to the city council lockdown trial, where activists chained themselves to furniture in the city council meeting because the mayor, then Mike Rodkin, would do nothing to alleviate the situation and was continuing a harsh pogrom against homeless people outside, which he insisted he wasn't, of course, but he was. Or let's put it this way, his police department was. His city manager wasn't Martine Bernal at that time, it was Dick Wilson was. And Matt Hufiker still is. So here we are in 2023, but journey back to 2013 and look at the differences, the similarities, and enjoy the voices of people who you do not often get to hear, unless you listen to this show and a few others.